Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into it, I did just drop a new lyric video for the single Pound Pads. It's a single with me and my label mate, Lex Aziz. You can check that out on the Black Man Records YouTube page, or you could check it out on my official website, katietrop.net. I'd appreciate it if you'd check it out. Also, no surprise here, Aaron Judge re-signs with the New York Yankees. It's official today. He's signing a 9-year, $360 million deal with the New York Yankees, so congratulations to him. He's getting paid as he deserves to get paid, and I have figured he was going to stay with the Yankees. As a matter of fact, it was kind of funny yesterday. A sports beat writer yesterday named John Heyman accidentally announced that Aaron Judge was going to be signing with the San Francisco Giants, and then like 20 minutes later after he tweeted that, it turns out he was wrong and he had to apologize and say, whoops, my bad. Lucky for me, at that point in time, I was actually working out, so I did not get the first alert, or else I would have been like, holy shit, yes, he signed with the Giants, and then to have it all ripped away and in a matter of 20 minutes would have sucked. But, I mean, hey, I had a feeling he was going back to the Yankees. To me, Aaron Judge is a Yankee, and after this season, he deserves to get paid. Congrats for him for betting on himself and it paying off. And we'll see what happens with the Yankees. They still have some work to do, especially I believe with their pitching for sure. But Aaron Judge getting him locked up, I think is great for the team, great for the franchise, and great for Aaron Judge. All right, and then let's talk about the Monday Night Football game between the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Was mostly a snooze fest for the majority of the part of the game, other than the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. It was really odd because for the most part, the Saints were dominating this game. I mean, it was just weird because, you know, Tom Brady was not having a good game. He was just throwing bad passes. The offensive line just could not block shit. Their defense was making Andy Dalton look good. So it was pretty weird, and the Saints were just dominating 16-3 all the way up until the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left to go. And it even looked like it was just not going to happen. Does Tom Brady have yet another comeback in him? I mean, they were down 16-3, and with just the way the offense was playing that night, there was no way this team was coming back. Well, they ended up driving down the field. And then with about 3 minutes left to go, Tom Brady ends up throwing a touchdown. And they score, and it becomes 16-10 all of a sudden. But like I said, there's three minutes left to go. So, I mean, the Saints, with the way the Saints were playing, they had to get the first down to just kneel down and take the game, right? Well, turns out the Buccaneers defense actually showed up on that one drive, basically. They wound up getting a sack and then pushing the Saints back. And they just basically had a waste of time drive. And it would basically end, and then they would punt the ball. And then Tom Brady would get the ball back with, I believe it was like two something. It was right before the 2-minute warning. I want to say it was like 2:16 in that area. And so it's like when they got the ball back, I was like, shit, well, here we go. I mean, if anybody could do it, it's Tom Brady. And the hilarious thing, as this drive was going, they kept going to shots of the New Orleans Saints sideline. And Andy Dalton is just like tediously playing with his beard because he knows Tom Brady's going to drive down the field and he's going to score this touchdown. And what happened? Tom Brady drove down the field, and they wound up scoring the touchdown with seconds left to go on the clock. And they ended up getting the win 17-16. It was just crazy because, you know, that's actually the one of the biggest comebacks Tom Brady has ever had in his career in the fourth quarter. He's never had a comeback like that other than Super Bowl 51. So it's just basically like, is there anything this dude can't do? Because he just basically proves everybody wrong and continues to do it. Even though this season is not a good season from him, really, and this game alone was just really not that good from him. But hey, he was able to put it together with 5 minutes left to go and was able to show the world that, yeah, the GOAT is still here and our team's not that good, but give us a shot and we'll get the win. And once again, Tom Brady leads the comeback and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get the win over the New Orleans Saints 17-16. All right, so let's get to the top 10 NFL power rankings. Starting off with number one. They're back. The stupid Philadelphia Eagles. They're 11-1, and just the way they dominated the Titans this week and with the Chiefs kind of falling off, there was no way I could not put the Eagles back at number one. I mean, they're just playing great. At every position, basically. Offensively, they look great. Their ground attack looks great. Their passing game looks great. And their defense is playing great. So there really aren't any negative things to say about the Eagles. So unfortunately, I had to put the stupid-ass Eagles at number one, even though, you know, that's really difficult for me to do as a Cowboys fan. But hey, Jalen Hurts, the dude is on some. He is making a great case for MVP. Like I said, he's probably going to fall short to Mahomes, but still, he is having a hell of a season. So far, he's passed for 2,940 passing yards, 20 touchdowns, and only 3 interceptions, 609 rushing yards, and 9 rushing touchdowns. So he is just killing it. Then their running back, Miles Sanders, he's got 924 yards and 9 touchdowns on the season. But A.J. Brown, also, he's got 950 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns on the season. So they're just getting it done in every single way. And then you turn over to the defense, and they lead the league with 15 interceptions. They're getting takeaways. They're getting sacks. They're rushing the quarterbacks. And the Eagles, just they're just doing their damn thing. So unfortunately, I had to put them back at number one this week. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Buffalo Bills. Overall record of 9-3. And they seem to be getting back on track and looking like the same old Bills. As a matter of fact, I think they finally figured out that, holy shit, we need a running game other than Josh Allen running around. And so, actually, the last couple of games, they finally have added a ground attack. It's been successful. And I feel like that's been the difference and why they look like the team that they should be. So far on the season, Josh Allen has passed for 3,406 yards, 25 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. And then Stephon Diggs, he's caught 1,202 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns. This guy just keeps producing every single game. But then you turn over to the defense, and the defense is really getting it done. They have 13 interceptions on the season. They're getting a ton of sacks. Jordan Poyer, the safety, he is having one hell of a year. So just the Bills overall, as they're getting back on track, and they're just doing it at on all ends of the field, both offensively and defensively. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Kansas City Chiefs, overall record of 9-3, and it's just the Patrick Mahomes show with them. Yeah, they did just lose to the Bengals, but hey, it wasn't like they got their asses kicked. It was just barely lost. And they could have easily got the win. You know, you win some, you lose some, and hey, this is probably going to be their last loss in a while, more than likely. But Patrick Mahomes, he leads the league in passing yards with 3,808 passing yards. And he also leads the league with 30 touchdowns. I believe Josh Allen is right behind him with 25. So, yeah, he's got a 5-touchdown lead over Josh Allen. And then he's only got 8 interceptions on the season, so he's been pretty efficient as well. And then he's got Travis Kelce, his workhorse tight end, who's got 968 receiving yards and 12 touchdowns on the season. But shockingly, this Kansas City defense actually is pretty stout, and they continue to get better as the season rolls on. Right now, they have 36 sacks and 24 touchdowns on the season. So, it's pretty crazy to see what they're doing. And they just continue to get better as the season rolls on. Then at number four on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got my Dallas Cowboys. Overall record of 9-3. And this team, I mean, they dropped over 50 points this week. And I don't care who you're playing, when you drop that many points, you're doing something right. Defensively, they're killing it, of course. Micah Parsons, he's got 12 sacks on the season. But overall, as a defense, they lead the league in sacks with 48 sacks. They also lead the league in forced fumbles with 17. They're getting touchdowns on the defensive side of the ball, and the offense is so efficient right now. I mean, we've got the two-headed monster between Zeke and Pollard at running back, and then Michael Gallup continues. It feels like he's getting better each and every week. CeeDee Lamb is just killing it this year. So really, I mean, there's not much not many negative things to say about the Cowboys at this current point in time, which is shocking and fucking awesome in my opinion. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the San Francisco 49ers, overall record of 8-4. They're all about the defense as well, though. I mean, the two best defenses in the league, hands down, are both the Niners and the Cowboys, because their defense just knows how to take over. That sets up their offense in good field position. And they even score some of the touchdowns as well. So they're doing some things. And Joey Bosa right now leads the league in sacks with 14.5 sacks. And on overall as a defense, they have 36 sacks and 12 interceptions on the season. It does look like there's a possibility that Jimmy Garoppolo could make an appearance during the playoffs. But, you know, the Niners have to make the playoffs in order to have that happen, which I'm sure is going to happen. I'm sure they're going to make it work with the backup quarterback. I just don't think they're a legit Super Bowl contender with a backup quarterback. They're more than likely probably going to win this division. And if they don't win the division, they're, to me, a shoe-in for a wild card. But doesn't really matter because this defense is killing it. And they do have a lot of weapons on the offensive side of the ball. So Brock Purdy really just has to be a solid game manager, which we have seen on multiple occasions this season that many different backup quarterbacks have come in and managed the game correctly, and then some others have done it awfully. So we'll see what happens with the Niners there. Then at number six on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Minnesota Vikings, overall record of 10-2. And for me, it's just the Vikings, they're not really convincing. I mean, they're a good team, but they just haven't. I mean, they're a weird 10-2 team. You feel like they would be a lot more dominating like the Eagles, and it's just like you look at it, and I feel like the Cowboys, and I mean, the Cowboys already stomped them into oblivion, and I feel like the Niners could do the exact same thing to them. But they do have a very potent offense. Right now, Dalvin Cook, he's got 927 rushing yards on the season and 7 touchdowns. And then Justin Jefferson, the dude, keeps balling hard. He's got 1,277 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns on the season. And really, all Kirk Cousins has to do is just throw him the ball. Even if he's in quadruple coverage, it don't fucking matter. Dude's coming down with the ball. Their defense has been holding it down as well. But it's just, I don't know. There's just something about the Vikings that I don't trust. And until they're able to prove it, they're probably going to be hovering around this this middle area, even though they have that 10-2 record on my power rankings. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Cincinnati Bengals, overall record of 8-4, and they're just climbing. For me, they just keep getting better and better every week. They become more and more convincing. It's kind of weird because usually the Super Bowl loser is the one who suffers the Super Bowl hangover, and it turns out this year it's the exact opposite. The Super Bowl winner is having a horrible Super Bowl hangover, whereas the Bengals pretty much mimicking what they did last season. And Joe Burrow, the guy, is just on fire. He's passed for 3,446 yards, 25 touchdowns and only 8 interceptions. And just overall, offensively, they have a lot of firepower. Defensively, they have enough they have enough going on there that they're able to just stay in certain games and make it so they don't get blown out, so the offense is able to stick with it. But the Bengals keep climbing, and they're looking like they did at the end of last season, which is not a good thing for the AFC. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Miami Dolphins. Overall record of 8-4, and they finally lost the game with Tua starting at quarterback this week. He looked more like typical Tua, as I would imagine, but then he was also going up against a great, stout, stacked defense in the San Francisco 49ers. He's still having a good year. So far, Tua has passed for 2,859 yards, 21 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. But this offense is really all about Tyreek Hill, who leads the league in receiving yards with 1,379 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns. The dude is just nuts. And even in a loss last week, he still made some huge plays. So even when his team's out of it, just get the ball to Tyreek Hill and you pretty much have a chance at scoring and staying in the game. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Seattle Seahawks. Overall record of 7-5. And it's just really the Geno Smith show. This guy, it feels like I've just been waiting for the other shoe to drop with this team. But for some reason, they just keep it moving. And they just keep getting better every game. And even though they're 7-5 and they've lost 5 games, they've been in every game. And they've had a shot to win every game, which I did not expect. I really thought the Seahawks were going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. And turns out they've got a shot at making the playoffs and, hell, even winning their division. Geno Smith has passed for 3,169 yards, 22 touchdowns, and only 6 interceptions. So he's been very efficient. And he's got this cannon of an arm that just came out of nowhere. And he's just getting the ball to all of his receivers, he's just looking good. And then you also have Kenneth Walker III, who's just had a breakout year at running back with 649 yards and 9 touchdowns. But then you also look at their defense. Their defense is just killing it. They're getting so many sacks and turnovers right now. Kobe Bryant, not the basketball player. An actual football player named Kobe Bryant. He leads the league with 4 forced fumbles, and he's really been a huge game changer for this Seattle defense. So I don't know what's going on up in Seattle. I totally thought this team was done for this year, but looks like they're going to make the playoffs, and they could actually be like a legit team you don't want to face off against in the first round of the playoffs. And then rounding out my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Tennessee Titans, overall record of 7-5. They've kind of fallen off the last couple of weeks, and then they just got trounced by the Eagles this past week. It feels like they've been going away from Derrick Henry as well. When they got to keep going through Derrick Henry. The dude is a workhorse, and he's about their only offensive option they have at this point. He has 1,778 yards on the season and 10 touchdowns. Their defense, not too bad, but I mean, offensively, it's just Derrick Henry, and other than him, very questionable, and they're falling. Lucky for them, they're in a horrible division, so even if they kind of keep falling off like they have the last couple of weeks, doesn't really matter. They more than likely are going to make the playoffs. All right, and then this week's Thursday night football matchup is the Las Vegas Raiders at the Los Angeles Rams. Right now, the Raiders are a 5.5-point favorite, and the Rams did end up actually picking up Baker Mayfield off of waivers this week. Don't know if he's going to play. I don't think it really makes a difference if he's going to play. I thought that was actually just kind of a weird pickup just because the Rams they have no shot at anything. I guess it's just because they're in such dire straits at the quarterback position. Why not just see what happens? And I mean, hey, they probably need some depth as well with Matthew Stafford out. But then you turn to the other side of the ball, and the Raiders, they're actually getting it going. I mean, Davante Adams has had an amazing season. He's had probably his best season ever in his entire career, and that says a lot since he's had a stellar career as it is. And then Josh Jacobs, he's getting it going. And Derek Carr, he's being a solid leader and solid quarterback. And defensively, they've been able to step it up a bit. And lucky for them, the Rams are just an absolutely terrible team this year. So I actually expect the Raiders to dominate this game, and I expect them to get the win 27-13. And then the playoff picture right now is looking like the AFC. The number one seed right now is the Buffalo Bills. They have the AFC East lead right now. Then the number two seed would be the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now they have the AFC West. And then the number three seed would be the Baltimore Ravens. They're 8-4, and right now they have the AFC North lead. And then the number four seed would be the Tennessee Titans, who right now have the AFC South lead. And then the wild cards, three top wild cards right now in the AFC would be the Cincinnati Bengals, the Miami Dolphins, and the New York Jets, with the Los Angeles Chargers and the New England Patriots on the outside looking in right now. And then moving over to the NFC, right now the number one seed would be the Philadelphia Eagles, who have the NFC East lead. Then the number two seed would be the Minnesota Vikings. They have the NFC North lead. Then the number three seed would be the San Francisco 49ers, who have the NFC West lead. And then the number four seed would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have the NFC South lead. And the three wild card teams right now in the NFC would be the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Giants, and the Seattle Seahawks, with the Washington Commanders and the Detroit Lions on the outside looking in. So it's getting pretty tight here in the playoffs. We are at week 14 now, which is just crazy. So we're at the last home stretch right here. And I don't expect too many changes, probably just a couple of changes here and there. Maybe with the seeding and with these last couple of wild card spots. But I think it's playoff teams are looking pretty much set at this current point in time. All right, so let's move over to college football. We do know who is going to be playing in the college football playoff this year on December 31st. Lucky for us, for the second time ever in the college football playoff history, Alabama will not be in it. And thank God for that. I mean, of course, Alabama fans would be upset about it, but the rest of us are just fucking rejoicing, because it's so nice to not have Alabama even have a chance at a national championship. I'm so done with Alabama that it's not even fun to watch them lose a national championship anymore, because it's like, could you just go away at least for one season? So it's nice that finally this year, we don't even have to hear the words Alabama and national championship at all. Thank God. Now, who is going to be in the college football playoff this year? Well, let's start off with the number one seed. Of course, that's going to be the Georgia Bulldogs, the defending national champs, who have not fallen off and have had a spectacular season so far. And they will be going up against number four, Ohio State, and then number two, Michigan, who has also had a spectacular season. They will be playing number three, TCU. Obviously, I will be making predictions closer to the actual matchups in a couple of weeks. But in my personal opinion, just looking at it just from those two matchups, it's kind of looking like the national championship is going to be Georgia versus Michigan, just because Georgia versus Ohio State, I just kind of feel like Georgia's probably going to kick their ass. And then Michigan versus TCU, I know Michigan's going to kick TCU's ass, because in my opinion, I don't really think TCU belongs here. But hey, they're there, and they're here, they're queer, and they're staying, I guess. So that's what we get with TCU. Also, the Heisman Trophy finalists were announced, and it's four quarterbacks this year, beginning with Stetson Bennett, the quarterback of Georgia. He has passed for 3,425 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 7 rushing touchdowns. Then Max Duggan, the QB of TCU, he's passed for 3,321 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 6 rushing touchdowns. Then C.J. Stroud, the quarterback of Ohio State, he's passed for 3,340 yards and 37 touchdowns, which is tied for most in college football this season, with the fourth Heisman candidate, Caleb Williams, the quarterback of USC. He's passed for 4,775 yards, 37 touchdowns, and 10 rushing touchdowns. In my personal opinion, if you're just kind of looking at stats and how the teams have performed this year, I think Caleb Williams is a shoe-in for this. I mean, he's passed for like 700 more yards than everybody else. He's tied for the most passing touchdowns, and then he also has the 10 rushing touchdowns, plus USC did have a phenomenal year. They really turned it around compared to last year, especially, well, actually compared to the last like few years. I mean, USC hasn't really been that relevant over at least within the last five-ish years or so. And he really turned it around, and he was a huge reason why. They did just miss out on the national championship, but hey, that's going to happen. Other than that, Caleb Williams, he had a spectacular year, and in my opinion, he should win the Heisman Trophy, but you never know. Yeah, we've got four quarterbacks this year, and we'll see what happens. I believe it's this Saturday is when they announce the Heisman winner. And then, like I said, December 31st is when we have the first round of the college football playoff. And then we will have the national championship a couple weeks after that. So we'll see where we're at in college football. Unfortunately, my stupid Texas Longhorns will be playing in the dumbass fucking Alamo Bowl yet again. I swear to God, that's like our... We either get that or the fucking Holiday Bowl. It's like, can we get a real bowl game here? Jesus Christ. Hopefully next year. But yeah, Alamo Bowl yet again against Washington. Woo hoo. Should be boring as shit. But anyways, that it's crazy. It's the end of college football season, but that's what happens, man. Football season just flies by. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports, people, and I will talk to you all on Friday.